During Munich Jewelry Week, I look forward to those moments when I compliment someone's jewelry, unknowingly telling the artist that I admire their work. It's the perfect icebreaker for getting to know someone. Jewelry Week brings our international community together and not only allows us to see each other's jewelry in person, but also to connect the faces with the work. We're given a chance to ask about each other's lives and experience the aspects of our personalities that cannot be captured in an exhibition. For this recording with the Norwegian artist Sigurd Branger, I approached our conversation with the same curiosity and warmth as anyone else I might compliment on the streets of Munich. As you listen, I hope you feel as though you're overhearing a conversation in a gallery, a moment between two artists getting to know each other.
Do you want to hear yourself in the
headphones?
No,
I don't need to.
Okay, you sound really good.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
My friend Marta was helping me with your name.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, Americans, I feel, are not very good with the Norwegian name. So Sigurd.
Yes, that is
pretty good.
Pretty good, I will say. Yeah.
Okay. Last name's harder.
Branger.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's straight.
Oh, that's easier than what she was doing. Yeah. She's Swedish, so she had this whole thing where she was rolling her R's.
Okay.
So good. Can you describe yourself to listeners and how you describe yourself as a maker?
Yes. How do you want me to do it? Because, I mean, I'm 67 years old.
Yeah.
Live in outside Oslo. My studio is in Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
I have the same studio for 20 years now, and I work together with three other colleagues, which also works in jewelry. And we are actually sitting mid in the city center, so we are very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I should start. I mean, I studied in the Netherlands.
Well, real quick. I find it fascinating in a lot of interviews or research I did on you. You describe yourself not necessarily as a jeweler, object maker.
I make carrying devices.
I also heard that. Okay.
Yeah, because I have a little bit problem with the word jewelry. In somehow it reminds me of richness, wealth, production.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little bit trouble. That's not how I work.
Right.
So that's why I have a little bit trouble using the word jewelry. So I use the word carrying devices, and I describe myself as a maker.
Right. Okay. That's exactly what I wanted to know. So, yes, as you were saying, you apprenticed. Were your parents makers?
No, they didn't have any involved in art or creativity. They had normal jobs.
They had normal jobs. So you went to a vocational school.
Yes.
Was that like a high school or was that post?
Yeah, no, it was not a high school. It's after the regular school, you can start beginning of a occupation choice. And I was really bad at school. I really didn't know what to do. I was a troublemaker at school. I found school very boring.
Mm. So same here. I dropped out twice. So,
by coincidence, I managed to start. I was picked out to the goldsmith, first year of the goldsmith education. Mm. And I found it interesting to work with my hands. And the school became a little bit more understanding and playful.
Yeah.
So I studied the goldsmith trading for 1 year, and then I was not good enough, so they didn't let me the second year.
Oh.
So that was a problem. And what do I do now?
Yeah.
And at that time, there was a visiting from the director of a school in Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, I'll try to go there. And they took me in. Yeah.
How do they know? I've heard stories about in Germany where as goldsmiths you have to make like a perfect cube. Like, how do you get disqualified for second year?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I just didn't do what the teachers told me to do.
Oh, I get that. You wanted to make what you wanted to make.
Exactly.
Yeah, non-traditional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but okay, I went to Netherlands. I studied techniques and I learned a lot, I think. It was a basic start for my career in a way.
Yeah.
And I was so obsessed by learning different kinds of technique. Mm-hmm. So then after the school in Netherlands, I had to leave the country.
Why?
Because of the unemployment at that time in the Netherlands. And you had not, because when you're studying, you have to leave the country when you're finished.
That was
in the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, that was a little bit annoying for me because I had a girlfriend and I wanted to stay, mm-hmm. right? But then I saw advertising in a newspaper and they asked for engravers.
Yeah. Oh, I read about this. I love hand engraving and I feel like it's a dying art all around.
Yes, it is.
Because it's very apprenticeship based.
Yes. And I learned a little bit of this at the school in Netherlands. Mm-hmm. So I applied.
Yeah.
And they took me in to teach me more because I didn't know so much about it. I had a little of it in that at school. So they took me in and I was, they learned me not so much engraving, but more the technical mechanical engraving with machines.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it was in a factory, a stamp factory actually, and they made all the official stamps for the Dutch government. So it has to be very precise.
Yeah.
Because people could copy or, how do you say?
Right, so it's like the mint of...
Yeah. It was like the mint.
That is such a cool job.
Yes, it was really cool.
Yeah, and you were paid for that.
Yes.
Right. And then that was kind of your workaround from having to leave the country. Yeah.
Yes.
You got a visa or something for that.
Yes, I mean, I was really thrown out of the country after 6 years.
Yeah.
No, 4 years. And what happened, because when I applied for this job, I was member of the union, the graphic union.
Oh.
And they were very strong union.
Right.
And then the police came and they said, okay, we are going to make a trial. We pay for you. We want to keep you. And as long as the trial is going on, took years.
Yeah, you got to stay in the country.
I got to stay in the country.
Sigurd, that's insane.
Yeah.
So you kind of helped set a precedent for that. Did you win the trial?
No, we lost.
Oh.
And then they had to officially send me out with the police escort out of the country. But I couldn't just go out and then come in again on tourist visa. So there was no problem.
Wow, way to get a police escort out of the country. That's saying something.
Because when it's a trial, they have to do it very official.
Yeah, were you in like the papers and the news or anything like that?
I didn't make any fuss.
Okay.
And after that, I was in a way finished with Netherlands at the time. Mm-hmm. I went back to Norway.
Yeah.
Then I started to build up my own studio.
So I'm American, and I think most people know that our government does not support the arts. And I really appreciated we're sitting in the, I don't ever say the name of this museum right, Pinacothèque?
This is Pinacothèque de Modern. Mm-hmm. In the Pinacothèque de Modern, you have Die Neue Sammlung. Die Neue Sammlung is the design museum, because this is a collaboration with more disciplines. You have the architectural museum, mm-hmm. you have the design museum, and you have the fine art museum.
Okay. And I've never really seen the fine art. I've been, and the level we're on, they would call this the rotunda, right?
Rotunda.
And the other day I came here and I went down to the design museum, which I love.
Design museum. This is the design museum.
Okay.
Also, it's a little bit confusing.
But like where the bikes are and the old furniture
and
objects.
That is the design part.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But did you go down to the jewelry collection?
No, I missed it. So I'm going to do that today.
This is a very interesting because this a collection is mm-hmm. not known for people in Munich. They don't know what it is, where it is. It's the top secret in Munich.
Yeah, I mean, this is my third jewelry week and I've never been told that there's a permanent collection at this museum.
And this collection is so beautiful and it's so nice displayed mm-hmm. because it's world famous outside Munich. The people in Munich don't know, so I had to tell people how important this is for the history and for the collection of the jewelry.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, and they don't make it easy to find either because I was downstairs and someone said it was down there. It's like, I didn't see it.
No, you have to, and it's a little bit trouble because you have to go all around through the design collection and it's not so easy to see.
Man, why do they always put jewelry? Have you ever been to New York City?
Yes.
The Met. The Metropolitan. So I go there.
Yes.
And I was focused on finding the jewelry. And it is hard. There's like a small little section, but you have to go all the way through that museum to find it. Why are we always in the back?
Maybe because of the value. I don't know. I don't know.
Really, I know. We're small. They're like, you can fit in that corner. Okay. So you go back to Norway.
Yes.
And the studio that you have now, you said you've had it for 20 years?
Yeah.
Is that the same studio?
Yeah.
Wow. So you got it at rent.
Yes.
Pretty low.
Very low rent.
Have you been rent stabilized this whole 20 years?
Yes, more or less. I mean, and we just got, before I came here, I got the news that we still can rent it for 5 more years.
Oh, you've never bought it?
No.
No.
Buying a place like that in Oslo, it's, you have a lot of money.
Right. Well, that's amazing that you're right in the heart of the city.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very lucky.
A lot of people are jealous on our work studio, you know.
I'd be jealous. What is your commute like from your home to the studio?
I take the boat because I lived on a peninsula, you call it, in the fjord.
Okay.
So I take the ferry every day.
Oh, you do?
20 minutes and you come into the city center.
I lived in Seattle and my partner lived on an island.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I would stay on the island, and I have to say, I really loved a ferry commute.
I've been in Seattle. It looks very much like Oslo in a way.
Oh, does it? Yeah, I lived there for 7 years.
Yeah.
Cold, wet, a lot of the years.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it.
Nature, water, everything.
Yeah, I do. For me, I feel better when I live near water.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm from the Midwest in the United States, so I was landlocked. So I've always found water to live by.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I also split a studio with people because it lowers your costs.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you? So you have two studio mates?
Yes, three actually.
Oh,
they are exhibiting here now in Munich as well.
Oh, they are.
In Teresa Grill. You should go and see them. They are making beautiful stuff.
Will you say their names so listeners know?
Kirsti, Runa, and Veronica. They're three gay women.
Okay. Oh, you're in a studio with all women?
Yes.
So good. I love that.
This is how it's developed, the jewelry art. I mean, in the beginning, it was all only men.
Right.
And now there are mostly women.
We were talking about that last night because I'm single.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not going to find a partner in the jewelry field.
No, you should.
You're always kind of looking around. I heard you introduce somebody and you said that this was your wife. So you're married?
Yes.
Nice. Is your wife in the arts? Is she creative?
Yes, she is a ceramic.
She's a ceramic artist?
Yeah.
I actually have dated a lot of ceramic artists. I love ceramics. Yeah. My whole...
Really?
Yeah. So is your house just filled with all handmade pots and same?
Exactly.
Yeah. I have a hard time eating or drinking out of a cup that's not made by somebody I love.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And if that a relationship sours,
yes,
can't really use their cup anymore, which has been kind of sad a few times.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, of course. So this is your first solo show outside of Norway. Is that correct?
I had solo shows in smaller galleries, mm-hmm. but not in a museum. This is the first time.
Okay, so that clarifies that, because at dinner last night, I had read that somewhere, and I was
but I think they were misunderstanding. I had to correct it. It's from the Klimt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly where I read that.
I told them it's not correct.
Right.
But but this is the biggest exhibition I ever had.
It's huge. Are you overwhelmed?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. How long have you been in Munich? Did you get here?
2 weeks.
Okay. So for the last 2 weeks has been the install, and you've been here for the whole thing of it?
Been here for 2 weeks setting up here. I'm just being inside this museum. I haven't seen the city.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work, actually.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine. I have a show here, and you know, we arrive Tuesday and Wednesday.
Where do you have a show?
It's called Three Times USA. It's in the Zirka space. It's kind of north.
Yeah.
And it's three American exhibitions.
Yeah, so it's on my list. It's on my list.
Really?
Yeah, because tomorrow I have time to go around.
Oh, I'll be there all day tomorrow because I took today off for you.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But I understand that. It's a different type of exhaustion when you're in a room. And I don't know, did you start looking at everything and being like, I hate it?
No, actually, I had a different opinion. I mean, I saw all the pieces and I'm like, wow, did I make all of this?
Right.
How did I do it? I cannot do it again.
Well, remind me how long your career has spanned?
40 years or something.
What? How old were you when you moved back to Norway and got kicked out of the Netherlands?
Yeah, maybe late 20s.
I always ask that to mentors or artists I admire because I feel as someone who... in the field, you look at a retrospective like yours and you say, what am I done or what am I doing? And it's hard to keep perspective sometimes.
Yes.
That this type of show has taken you your life.
Yeah, it's my life. Actually.
It really is. I would imagine it's kind of emotional to see.
Yeah, it was also a bit emotional. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so curious that when these pieces, I loved how Petra, is that how you pronounce her
Petra.
Name? Talked about how one couple are ill and they didn't want to send their pieces back because your work brings them so much joy. Yeah. They didn't want to be without them. That was very touching. When you see all these pieces come back from all these collectors, are there pieces that you had forgotten about? And do you take time to kind of clean them up?
No. Some of the pieces, yes, indeed, I forgot about them.
Yeah.
Very funny to see again. And when I look at them, how did I do this?
You're like, I'm really good.
I'm really amazed. And I can tell you, I cannot make them again.
Yeah.
Because all this is very important. They are all unique pieces.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I work. I never made series of one or two or three.
Yeah.
That's not interesting for me.
And when I look at your work, I think about the process is troubleshooting and figuring out your technique half the time. So
yes.
I can imagine because you don't make replicas, you must make test pieces.
That's what I told you about.
Yeah.
I make six or seven before I'm satisfied, the same piece.
And you truly do destroy them all, or do you like give one to your wife to wear, or?
No.
They truly go away.
the pieces I don't like, I destroy them physically.
Right.
Because then it's gone.
Then they're gone.
Yeah.
My favorite piece when you were walking around talking about them was the one with your mother's gallbladder stone.
Gallstone.
I actually traveled with a little bit of my mom's ashes here with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that people tend to have an ick factor or things like that about gallstones or remains or anything like that. But for me, I find it, I cherish it. I want jewelry with it. I want jewelry with that kind of thing. So that piece to me was the most special. And I'm not just carrying my mom. She never left the country. So when I go places abroad, I leave a little bit of her around.
That's nice. That's very nice. So she's all around the world then?
Well, she's gone to Thailand.
Okay.
And she's going to go to Venice.
Yeah.
After this.
Venice is nice.
Yeah, I'm going to put a little river in the canal.
Wow. That's a very nice story. Yeah.
So when I saw that piece, I was like, I love that one so much. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah. Not one particular. I love the egg pieces when I see them again.
Yeah. The ostrich one is insane.
Yeah. The ostrich one. I also love the piece behind us there.
Well, that one is it a conch shell? How would you call it?
Nautilus shell.
And that imagery is used a lot with you.
Yeah?
Yeah. When I was researching you, that piece was shown a lot.
It belongs to the Norwegian National Museum.
Mm.
And maybe because I got the Bavarian State Prize of it from it.
Okay. Can you tell me about that and what that is?
That is, they give, tomorrow there is this prize ceremony at the fair.
Yes.
And they, it's the Hoffman Prize.
Oh, the Hoffman Prize. Okay. Right? That's, yes, I know
and
that.
And then before, on Wednesday, this mm-hmm. committee, I think, they go around and they choose three artists who gets the Bavarian State Prize. Mm-hmm. The Bavarian State Prize is much nicer than the Hoffman because Bavarian State Prize is money.
I was going to say, is it money? Yes.
And a gold medal.
How much money?
5,000 euros.
Nice. That's a very nice vacation.
Yeah, that's a nice vacation. Hoffman Prize doesn't...
Is no money?
The honor.
See, I just don't understand that. Like, I mean, I like an honor, but give us something for our labor and yeah. our time and our effort.
Exactly.
You spoke in an interview about how you feel artists or students today are not being prepared for the world beyond academia.
Exactly.
I'm a non-academic, and I think the basis of most of my work that I've done has been about empowering students to be like, you need to understand what is waiting for you. Know how to do your taxes. What do you feel would be good advice for students? Like the way, I mean, you were very frank about the fact that you have never supported yourself on your work and you've never tried to.
No.
And I think that's really important to share with people.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a matter of taking a decision, a yeah. choice. I mean, I knew from the first time I went to Gallery Ra in mm-hmm. the 70s that I could never make a living off it.
Yeah.
But I knew also if I'm going to succeed, I have a need a gallery mm-hmm. to is taking care of me.
Yeah.
And I think this is very important also for the young generation, because now they say, yeah, but we don't need a gallery. We can sell it on the net.
Mm-hmm.
And
Instagram, and I have this.
But when I talk to collectors around the world, they never buy jewelry on the net.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then they get it home, they, oh, it doesn't fit. They have to send it back again.
Or the yeah. proportions are different. Yeah. There's just something about seeing it.
Yeah, seeing person. And feeling, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
So my advice to the young, I mean, there's a lot of galleries in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be patient. You have to try. You give. I mean, I've been there.
I really liked how you shared how many times in Gallery Raw turn you down.
And, yeah.
That takes a lot of heart. Oh. Rejection is hard.
Yes.
But you kept going, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because I don't know how to do anything else. I have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then suddenly it's a match.
Mm-hmm. So how long after you're in broadcasting?
Yeah.
Which I love. When I the one time I did try to go to college, I was so enamored with my radio station.
Really?
And then I go to jewelry and I come back to broadcasting. Yeah. What do you do for that?
I have this special, quite interesting job. I have it for a long time now. I make different kinds of camera equipment so they can put it on the cars, bicycles, when they are filming, you know, mm-hmm. special need, which you have to have right now because you cannot buy it out in the net or in the store.
Okay.
So it's very specialized for different kinds of production in TV.
Okay.
So I have to find the new solutions, and that's what I like about it.
You are an engineer. You're basically a self-taught engineer.
Yeah, they say so.
Yeah, I mean, you look at your work too, yeah. but to know that that has been your long-term job yeah. and doing that is...
And of course, I like to challenge myself to make different kinds of constructions for what I told you, the mm-hmm. different kinds of material.
Yeah. What's your work-life balance like? Like, how much do you actually get into the studio in a week?
I'm in my studio every day.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is a meditative practice for you, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and because I also always have these ideas in my head.
You never stop.
It never stops. It's really annoying sometimes, you know? And yeah, my wife gets a little bit pissed off because I cannot concentrate on... the house.
She's like, can we take a vacation?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. What do you do for fun? You can't say make jewelry, Sigurd. No, that's off the table.
No, okay. But I like to go to the museums. I go out in the nature. Mm-hmm. In the winter, I go skiing.
You ski?
I mean, we're living in Norway.
I've never skied before. I'm going to try it soon, though.
You should. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting experience the first time.
Yeah. I'm kind of painful, probably, too.
Yeah, can be. But for me, it's. I guess this is for all the Norwegians. They love the nature. Mm-hmm. They love the skiing. And I think that is one of the principles why they are not wearing contemporary jewelry art, because it's always in the way, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah, it is very true.
I think. I don't know, because when you go to Amsterdam or in mm-hmm. Holland, people are wearing the jewelry all the time, but they hardly have any nature.
They
go to openings, they go to theater, they're very cultural.
They're city slickers is what we would call them.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we can wrap up because there's a lot of people that want to talk to you, but I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time to speak with us. And I wanted to end on asking about you're 67.
Yeah.
When are you going to retire? Or do you think you'll ever retire?
Exactly, because this is the...
Like a retrospective is supposed to be like the end of the...
But I think that is the nice thing about making stuff with your hands. You never retire.
You never really stop.
You can work the whole life if the health is okay. I mean...
You look good. I mean, my grandfather raised me, so I have a very good idea. Yeah. You know, I was 16 when he was 64. Yeah. So... You look great for 67. And to be making this type of meticulous little work, I would assume like the eyes are the first thing that you're worried about.
But it goes okay, I think.
Yeah.
I can see still.
How are you going to celebrate this accomplishment?
We're going to be here celebrating. And after that, I think I go with my family to have some nice food.
Yeah. Oh, do you have kids?
Yeah, I have a daughter.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but she has exam. She is studying law.
Oh, she's like, Dad, I can't come to your retrospective.
She hates art.
Oh my gosh, that's really... You know what? I think I did put that on my outline for you. I was like very curious. It's like when you're somebody who is so creative, you hear how children tend to be opposite.
Yeah.
She's going to be a lawyer.
Because earning money in the jewelry art is not... It's a catastrophe. She has seen me.
Yeah, no, I mean, super bummed I didn't go get an MBA, Master's of Business. I mean, yeah, it's my thing. If I went back to school, I think about if I did it again, what would I do?
Right.
And it would be get a Master's in Business degree. But I also like how I've turned out.
Yeah.
No regrets. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or add?
No, I want to thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I know you have a lot of people asking for your attention today, so I truly appreciate you spending some time and sharing with Art Jewelry Forum's followers.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Did it work?
It did. That was so lovely. Thank you.